Blog Talk Radio.
Within me, bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning. Welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So first, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job, to anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy, so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercy. Bless our family and home to be in order as we left it, Lord. We thank you for everything you have done. Thank you for everything you are doing. And we thank you for everything you are going to do. And we thank you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, You Are Mine for All Time. My scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, and it says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, and it says, The Lord replied, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. To God be the glory. My third scripture reading is coming from John chapter 12, verse 46, from the New King James Version, and it says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, You Are Mine for all time. Nothing can separate you from my love, since I have invested my very life in you. Be well assured that I will also take care of you. When your mind goes into neutral and your thoughts flow freely, you tend to feel anxious and alone. Your focus becomes problem solving. To get your mind back into gear, just turn towards me, bringing yourself and your problem into my presence. Many problems vanish instantly in the light of my love because you realize you are never alone. Other problems may remain, but they become secondary to knowing me and rejoicing in the relationship I so freely offer you. Each moment you can choose to practice my presence or to practice the presence of the problem. Amen. I pray that this devotional message, it's a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. So at this time, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Messiah,
worship you. We
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua. Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah. Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah.
Oh my God. Take your shoes off for your standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound. Hear the voice of Yahweh.
When you're in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
holy mountain, for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
Amen. Praise be to God. For the Bible says in Romans 10:14-15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Praise be to God. At this time, I am going to bring forth the word this morning. Apostle Mother Wiggins could not be with us this morning, so I will be bringing the message. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Amen. Ezekiel, chapter 2. And we're going to read chapter 2 from verse 1 to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Amen. And it says, this is the call and commission, Ezekiel's call and commission. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise be to God. It says, stand up, son of man, said the voice. I want to speak with you. The Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his voice, his words, excuse me. Son of man, he said, I am sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are a stubborn and hard-hearted people. But I am sending you to say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they are rebels. They are rebels, excuse me. At least they will know they have had a prophet among them. Son of man, do not fear them or their words. Don't be afraid, even though their threats surround you like needles and briars and stinging scorpions. Do not be dismayed by their dark scrolls, even though they are rebels. Verse 7. You must give them my message, whether they listen or not, but they won't listen, for they are completely rebellious. Son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not join them in their rebellion. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and saw a hand reaching out to me. It held a scroll, which he unrolled. And I saw that both sides were covered with funeral songs, words of sorrow, and pronouncements of doom. Chapter 3. The voice said to me, son of man, eat what I am giving you. Eat this scroll, then go and give its message to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. Fill your stomach with this, he said, and when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So last week, we observed a despondent, disillusioned young Hebrew priest, Ezekiel, standing by the Chebar River in a strange and alien land where he and his people were captives. He was at the point of saying, what's the use? God doesn't even care anymore. Then God sent a vicious dust storm down from the mountains, and Ezekiel saw the glory of God in a way that it is found nowhere else in the Bible. Through strange and weird symbols, God revealed himself to his wandering servant. After having had that incomparable experience, Ezekiel fell on his face before God. He would like to have stayed by the river to soak in all of that glory and radiance of God's self-revelation. But God said, no, you don't. Stand up on your feet, Ezekiel. There's work to be done. There's a long road ahead with some rough stretches, and you must get prepared for it. Mountaintop experience with God are wonderful beyond expressions, but the valley is inevitably, and we must be prepared to walk there in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come once again as humbly as we know how, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, to just worship on you and love on you and thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for health. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for all that you are doing. We thank you for another opportunity to glorify your name, Lord God. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, divine healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for providing us with all of our needs, a roof over our head, food on our table, clothes on our backs, Lord God. We thank you for our children, Lord God. We thank you for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We thank you for our nieces and nephews, sisters and brothers, and those in Christ and those who are not, but one day would say, what must I do to be saved? We thank you for our neighbors, Lord God. Bless each and every one of them in your own special way, Lord God, and guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. We thank you, thank you, thank you. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life through him, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Not our will, but your will be done, Lord God. We thank you for this program, Pray One for Another. We thank you for the House of Manessa Christian Ministry. We thank you for House of the Lord Online Ministry, Lord God. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for our deacons and our musical ministry. We thank you for all of those who tune in on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. on House of the Lord Online Ministry, Lord God. We thank you for all of those on Pray One for Another that listening by YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever they listen to this program, Lord God. We ask that you bless them, Lord God. Bless them in their lives. Bless them in their homes. Bless them in their finances, Lord God. And guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. We thank you for this word this morning, Lord God. We ask that you go down by the hospitals and nursing homes and prison cells and juvenile halls, Lord God. Someone is calling upon your name, Lord God. Someone needs you right now, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty special way, Lord God. Heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. Let your will be done in their lives, Lord God. We ask that you bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God. We ask that you bless the people in Ukraine and Russia. And Lord God, we ask that you bring peace to those countries, Lord God. Let your will be done in each and everything that is going on in this world, Lord God. You know what's going on, Lord God. So we ask you to just touch us all in a special way. Soften our hearts, Lord God, that we will show love and kindness to one another, Lord God. Let it be all of you and none of us this morning, Lord God. I ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. My text for this message is coming from Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 and chapter 3. And it says, he said unto me, Son of man, stand up, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have in grace hath transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Amen. My title for this message this morning is Walking the Hard Road. And Lord knows we have a lot of hard roads to walk. First, in our text passage, we find Ezekiel's commission from God. Amen? Ezekiel's task was to deliver to his people a message of judgment. It was a message to a people who believed they had already been judged too harshly. Judgment does not necessarily mean condemnation. When Christians read the Bible with honesty and openness, they will find mirrors everywhere in which they see their shortcomings and sins. This is God's way of saying, all right, you have grown a little here, but look at that area of your life. You have a long way to go there. Some pruning and spiritual surgery are needed. This is not always a pleasant experience. These Hebrew exiles to whom Ezekiel was instructed to deliver a message of judgment did not want to face their sins. They felt sorry for themselves, and they wanted pity instead. Many of them were suffering, and to make matters worse, their brothers who had been left in Jerusalem were not having to bear the trials and heartbreaks in this pagan land where they were being held captive. So they were prone to say, Lord, I'm having enough trouble as it is. I need your consolation, not your judgment. Don't send more fire, Lord. I need healing, slave on the wounds of I already have. But there is a danger involved in the expression of comfort and consolation. For we tend to want more than we need. Amen? But the truth is that there come those times in the lives of God's people when we must be forced to examine ourselves, face our shortcomings and sins, and repent. So Ezekiel had a problem. His people, like many today, were quite willing to believe in God as long as he was willing to sympathize with them in their hard times. But they did not want to be told to repent of their sins, to examine themselves, to face up their shortcomings. They had had enough trouble already. The lesson here for us, as well as for them, is that we are called upon to live our faith, not just under ideal conditions, but under whatever circumstances we find ourselves, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And how did Ezekiel begin his bold program of preaching judgment and self-examination to his people? His first step was to call them back to a private and individual practice of their faith. He stressed strongly a proper diet, prayer, and respect for the Sabbath. Ezekiel knew that these things, while not ends in themselves, were vital aids to an inward and spiritual relationship with God. We live in a day when there are many great and sometimes almost overwhelming issues facing us. These issues are complex, but before we can be effective at all in exerting any significant influences as Christians within our society, we must see to our individual, personal, private lives and our relationship with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Second, after Ezekiel received his commission from God, we read of his equipment for service. God had told Ezekiel what to do, and it wasn't a very pleasant task. But God did not leave Ezekiel there. He said, here's your equipment. Here is your power. Here is the strength in which you are to go. Note God's honesty with Ezekiel. He told him in so many words that it would not be easy to preach a message of repentance to a people who did not want to listen. In a very vivid and graphic way, God warned Ezekiel that there would be briars, thorns, and scorpions. By that, God meant that the people would often reject Ezekiel's preaching, and there would be times when he would actually experience physical danger. The hand represents God, and the roll, which is the scroll, the holy words of God. Ezekiel 2:9. God told Ezekiel to eat the scroll in chapter 3:1. When he did, it was as sweet as honey to the taste. Praise be to God. It is often the case that before we can taste the sweetness of honey in the word of God. We must first apply the bitter parts. They are the parts of God's message that call for repentance and self-examination. The Bible presents a frank, realistic picture of human weakness and of the divine strength available. See how the Bible describes the weaknesses as well as the strength of great men. Abraham was a liar. Jacob was a cheat. And Esau a fool. But that is not the whole story. God touched these weak men and made them great. They were not great within themselves. Simply put, man has sinned. This is precisely what man does not want to hear. I am not bad, he retaliates. I am essentially good. Give me a good environment. Give me food for my stomach and money in my pocket, and I will be good. But not so. Sin is not just a conditioned response to man's environment. It is not just hereditary. It is man's fall, natural expressing itself. Praise God. There is one person in the world for whose life and destiny we are uniquely responsible. Is that person measuring up to the full stature of which he or she is capable with God's help? If not, that person ought to repent. This is the message of Ezekiel. And the same message runs throughout the Bible. People do not like this message. They never have, and they probably never will. But it is our only hope. My brothers and sisters, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And as I close this message for this morning, I just want to say, over a dangerous reef, the Coast Guard anchors a large buoy with a light that blinks by night and a bell that tolls with every wave. The buoy is placed there not to deprive mariners of any freedom, but to show them the way to freedom. To ignore the buoy could mean destruction. The standards set forth in God's word are high ones. In fact, Jesus told his followers on one occasion, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew 5:48. It would be difficult to find a standard higher than that one. But what does a person want? He or she wants a relaxed, easygoing moral code that makes no strenuous demands. A benevolent grandfather God in heaven who will smile on sins and shortcomings. But instead of that, God sets a standard for us that is so high we can attain it only with his help. When we are striving to reach that standard, we are possessors of a radiant joy and peace that the world can never give nor take away. Thus, the message of Ezekiel is fantastically reverent today. He said to his people, "Wherever you are, in the valley of the shadow or on the sunny highlands, it is your duty to live your faith. And if you fail, then it is your duty to repent and to move back into a right relationship with God. And today, it is through such Christians that God's love is channeled into every corner, every nook and cranny of this world. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Amen. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that God died, that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise God. My benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, this morning, I am going to read the poetry. Our very own Barbara Amore could not be here with us. She is attending a homegoing service. Amen. And the title of this poem from her book, The Profundity of God, A Spiritual Anthology and Poetry by Barbara A. Amore. And the title of this poem is My Thank You Prayer. Dearest Heavenly Father, for waking me up this morning, Lord, I thank you for making me aware of your being in my life. Lord God, thank you for your loving me even when I did not have sense enough to love myself. Lord, I thank you for being with me always and in all ways. Thank you, Lord. When they said I would not make it, Lord, I'm making it with your help. Even though I may not always hear you, I can feel you. And that's when you make me smile. You make me laugh. Sometimes you make me want to dance. Sometimes you make me shout and call out. You cause me to weep happily, rejoicing that you are near, rejoicing that you are in me, on me, over me, under me, and all while going through me and being all encompassing all the time I may be going through. And Lord, there are times when you are just good, because You are just good. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is sad. Nobody's hurting me. I'm not mad. It's just you, your boundless wisdom and your love. You make me take notice of the things of beauty that surrounds me, things I might not notice had I not experienced your presence. That's dealing the same. Yes. Things like rainbows in the sky, beautiful flowers in bloom, a baby's tender, delicate skin, a soft, caring, and gentle touch, the scent in the air after a rain shower, a sweet, loving butterfly kiss on the lips, a deep, hearty laugh, a clean house, a pure heart, and stars, star power, for fruits of the spirit and for these things and more. For gratitude, for faithfulness, peace, kindness, love, generosity. I could go on and on, but not now. So for being who you are, Lord, I thank you for doing me like you do me. Lord, I thank you for life, health, and strength. You are my rock, my sword, my shield, a wheel in the middle of a wheel for things that don't even make sense. You know that they all come from you. They are heaven sent. Lord, I have to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play a short selection while we're waiting on our talk in the sanctuary with our very own pastor, Kathy Dubose. Amen.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship.
Yes.
Let's pray.
Come on. Lord. Sing along. Oh.
Honor and glorify his name.
Oh, yeah.
Let's worship.
Yes.
Oh.
God. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this morning, and at this time I will play another selection while we're waiting.
Thank you. says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able.
Come to let you know
that my God is able.
Able to set you free.
Yes, my God is able, yes.
Oh, I come to let you know,
oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now, yes. Yes, my God is able.
I think you don't know.
I said, I come to let you know
that the God of our power, he is able, yes, he is, yes, he is. Able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. Yes. My God is able.
My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able.
Sing unto them, heaven.
I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. To set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, in spite of what you're going through, that my God is able. Able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Yeah. I came to let you know. He is able, whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger. Yeah.
to your neighbor, tell him, say, able. Come on, say, he's able. What you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose, and is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord, call on his name, cause he's able, cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, is the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is. Yes he is. Oh, I know, I come to let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Well, as you can see, our our speaker, unfortunately, could not be with us this morning. So I am going to say some, read some stories of prayer for a healthy soul. And this is from Billy Graham, Max Lucado, Joni Erickson, Tada, and others. Amen. So I figured for the next 26 minutes, we can share some of these stories from this book. In Psalms 142 and 6 says, listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. And this is prayer that provides. Brady's Birth by Jennifer Smith Morris. God's Word in Psalms 116, verses 5 through 7 says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." She says, "Recently, when my firstborn turned 7, I found myself thinking back to his birth. It was the first time I experienced the power of prayer. I was 20, recently married, unexpectedly pregnant, and new to Christianity. I went into labor at 7 months. Medication stopped the contractions, and I was taken by ambulance to a hospital equipped to care for premature babies. Brady was born 1 week later. During those first blurry hours, we learned that he had an infection and a heart murmur. Sometimes his heart would stop and he would stop breathing. There were tubes and wires everywhere and alarm sounds of something was wrong. It was an overwhelming introduction to motherhood. The day after Brady's birth, the doctors discharged me. We were 80 miles from home. While I had been in the hospital, my husband, Andy, drove each evening to be with me, stayed the night in my room, then drove home the next morning for classes and work. Now, we had no place to stay. There was a Ronald McDonald House nearby where parents of hospitalized children could stay for only $10 a night. We could have a room for as long as we needed it and kitchen facilities. There were no openings. So we placed our names on the waiting list. The hospital had 2 family rooms for brief stays. Although they cost twice as much, they offered short-term solutions for families. Unfortunately, they too were booked. I had no car, only $20, and no credit card. We could not have afforded a hotel even if one had been nearby. Brady's heart stopped twice that day. He had no sucking reflex and was fed through a stomach tube. He developed jaundice and began light therapy. All around, alarms sounded and nurses bustled about. I sat next to his incubator and watched him breathe. I did not want to look away for fear he would stop. By that afternoon, I had called the Ronald McDonald House 3 times to see if there was an opening. There wasn't. Taking a break, I walked outside the hospital, sat on the steps, and began to cry. My baby was sick. My body was weak. My husband was driving 80 miles in bad weather, and we had no place to sleep. It was too much. A woman approached me. "Can I help you?" she asked. I choked out my circumstances. I told her about Brady's heart stopping and how we had no place to stay. "I'll pray for you," she said. And she put her hand on my shoulder. "My daughter is having a baby too. There are complications. The baby's kidneys were failing and his life was in danger." After she left, I felt humbled that she took the time to stop and surprise that her first action was to pray. I like to say that is what I did next, but I did not. I spent the day full of stress and empty of faith. Around 5 that afternoon, I told a nurse that we still did not have a room. She said they would look the other way if we slept in the waiting room. Things were looking up. I whispered and embraced prayer of thanks. Then I got word that a hospital family room had become available. I sang as I put my clothes away and pushed the single beds together. When I saw a Bible on the dresser, it struck me that the woman's prayer had been answered. I went to the cafeteria for dinner, feeling hopeful for the first time that day. However, as I sat down, I heard my name page to call the neonatal intensive care unit. My thoughts ran wild. Brady's heart had stopped. The infection was out of control. He had pneumonia. SIDS. I was in tears as I dialed the phone and my voice quivered as I asked what had happened. "Oh, there's no problem," the nurse assured me. "The Ronald McDonald House called. They have a room for you, a room we could call home for as long as Brady was in the hospital, a place where we could prepare meals on our very meager budget." That night, I crawled into a warm bed at the Ronald McDonald House with Andy. We marveled that God had provided for us. We marveled that God had provided for us so quickly and abundantly. And it all started with a stranger's prayer. Words of wisdom. God says to us, "Pray, because I have all kinds of things for you. And when you ask, you will receive. I have all this grace, and you live with scarcity. Come unto me, all you who labor, Why are you so rushed? Where are you running now? Everything you need, I have. And that's by Jim Sembala. God's promise in Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Amen. Let us pray. A prayer by Catherine Marshall. Lord, I have been so defeated by circumstances. I have felt like an animal trapped in a corner with nowhere to flee. Where are you in all this? Lord, the night is dark. I cannot feel your presence. Help me to know that the darkness is really shade of your hand. Outstretch caressingly that the hemming in is your doing. Perhaps there was no other way you could get my full attention. No other way I would allow you to demonstrate what you can do in my life. I see now that the impetus, the empty my cup is, the impetus my cup is, the more space there is to receive your love and supply, the emptier. Amen. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed that story. Okay, we got 14 minutes, so I'll read another story. Amen. They are so wonderful and heart-filling. And this one is Wilderness Prayer by Lee Maynard. In Psalms 20:7, God's word, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The writer says, it was 1978. In the early hours when the tops of trees were still loose in darkness, I parked my truck and stepped into New Mexico's Gila Wilderness. My plan was to hike 20 miles in, then join up with a group of nine outward bound school students and their instructor, a patriot, a patrol, excuse me. I was the school director, and I was worried about this patrol. Three New England preppies, a college freshman, three high school graduates from Dallas, and two South Chicago street kids who had been sentenced to outward bound in lieu of jail. I look forward to hiking in the Gila, even after half a lifetime spent outdoors. I could not seem to see it enough. But it was midsummer, and the sun's heat poured down relentlessly. At midday, I stopped, drank some water, and for the first time noticed the heat in my boots. Chico. Amen. The boots were not new. I had worn them for some weeks and thought they were ready for the Gila. I was wrong. I reached camp in the middle of the evening meal, took off my boots and socks, and paddled around on the soft forest floor. I inspected my feet and counted 11 blisters, near blisters and hot spots. Still, I told no one about my problem. We sat and talked for hours. After 2 weeks in the wilderness, only one student, a New Englander, seemed disenchanted with the course. He had tried to quit but had been talked out of it by staff. In the morning, the New Englander was gone. He had left hours before, thrashing back down the trail I'll come in on. We could not just let him go into the unforgiving wilderness. Since I was the extra man, I put on the devil boots and went after him. I soon realized I wasn't just limping anymore. I was walking as though barefoot on hot glass. As I shuffled and stumbled, I tried to keep my mind above my ankles. I knew sound sucked its way into my conscience, and I realized it was coming. Praise God. And I realized it was coming. 16, where is this? 14, 15. And from my boots, I sat on a fallen tree, held my feet out in front of me, and looked at the crimson oozing from the eyelets. If I took the boots off, I would never get them on again. Eventually, the trail came out of the bush and straight into the Gala River, flowing down from the high country through shaded canyons. By the time it got to me, this narrow, shallow river was still icy, and I could not wait to feel it against my baking feet. But when the water poured into my boots, the burning sensation was replaced with a thousand stabs that seemed to puncture every blister. My scream cut through the canyon, and I went face forward into the water. Then I got up and staggered across the river.
Chico.
Since there was no rational solution to my problem, my mind began to create irrational ones. The answer, obviously, was a horse. If I just had a horse, my feet would no longer be a problem, and I could catch the New Englander like King Richard III. I began to implore. Give me another horse. Have mercy. What was the next word? Oh, yes, Jesus. The sun was low against my back, and my shadow reached far down the stony trail. I would never get to the end of my shadow. And then I stopped. The right shoulder of my shadow moved. A bungling darkness down on the trail. A huge mass, motionless, now blocked most of the low sun and elongated head, bobbing up in attention to my presence. It was a horse, a ghost born of pain. It was a beautiful ghost, but I would have to make it go away. So I confronted it directly, dragging myself right up to the horse and grabbing its halter. It was a real horse. The animal had a halter and a lead rope, but no saddle. Something was going on here that I did not understand, but I was not going to question. Sit down. Question it. I gathered up the lead rope and struggled onto the horse's back. A horse, I mumbled, as it calmly carried me down the trail and into the falling darkness. Jesus. Jesu, the horse walked through the night and did not stop until he got to the trailhead where I found the new Englander sitting on the bumper of my truck. I took off the hated boots, bandaged my feet, and hobbled the horse to a patch of grass. The new Englander and I slept nearby. At first light, two rangers showed up looking for the horse. They said it had never wandered off before and did not know why it did this time. They said the horse name was King. King Jesus. Praise God. Words of Wisdom, Jeremiah Taylor. Prayer can obtain everything, can open the windows of heaven and shut the gates of hell, can put a holy constraint upon God and detain an angel till he leave a blessing, can open the treasures of rain and soften the iron ribs of rocks till they melt into a flowing river, can arrest the sun in his course and send the winds upon our errands. God's promise in Matthew 6 and 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Prayer by Ann Spangler. Lord, my faith is no faith at all if it depends upon whether or not you perform a miracle for me or for someone I love. And yet I believe that miracles do happen. So I ask you to look with compassion on my prayer and to grant the desires of my heart. Whether your answer is yes or no, now or later, I trust you. I trust that you hear me, that you understand my distress, and that you will act with compassion. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I pray that you have enjoyed those two stories for this morning. Praise God. So at this time, I will get ready to close out the program for this morning. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon, and shalom.
For tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York 104.